parents can hear me.
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast, exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, JY Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of the Grateful Shows podcast takes us back to May 8th, 1980, a Thursday night at the Civic Center in Glens Falls, New York. We'll do the first set this episode, and then feel free to join us next episode for the second set. Shall we go? Grateful Shows Tour Book 1, Show Number 4. A meditation on the Glens Falls Civic Center, Glens Falls, New York. Thursday, May 8th, 1980. It's a Wonderful Live. Set 1. Alabama Getaway. A trip upstate finds us face-to-face with another Alabama Getaway. This is one of 19 consecutive shows featuring an Alabama Getaway with no respite until the summer solstice, when Alaska finally receives the long-awaited alphabetical handoff. Southern Adirondack Getaway starts with a bang. Wake the neighbors, Rip Torn, Rip Taylor, and even Rip Van Winkle over in the Catskills, because it's going to be a hot one. The tune carries the energy of the South. On fire, hot, smoking, going off. Yes, we've heard the same adjectives as y'all before, but let's temper expectations, at least until the song finishes. This is the first of three consecutive Civic Center shows. Glens Falls, Hartford, and Portland to wrap up our tour. Tonight's Civic Center, a cozy minor league hockey joint, has a big league vibe, and Jerry does his best to heighten the illusion. The first note of his solo shreds the fabric of time. Otherwise, it's business as usual. Brent chips in with organic keys, biding time until the final wig out. Get ready, folks. The metronome is about to be broken. Jerry hits it once and takes another dip. Three times the charm before he signals Bob to take over. And yes, you could call that version smokin' with an N apostrophe. Promised Land. Happy to be in Glens Falls, affectionately known as America's hometown. Although we are in New York, the boys have us yearning for the Golden State. The Civic Center is already filling with a distinct energy. Words like frothing, delirious, fevered, revved up, and others of their ilk. Of course we'll contribute to the cause. Nickels, dimes, quarters, anything we can scrounge up will do. Pass the hat around and spread the love. Once the requisite donations are received, the dead take this one to the stratosphere. We are bombarded by a wall of sound. Not the legendary 1974 setup, but a visceral force driving us towards certain revelry. This is some incredibly intense stuff, an all-time high. Jerry, with a musical tip of the hat, refuses to let the song die, causing a brief out-of-body experience before snapping us back into reality, akin to the G-force at the peak of a roller coaster ride. Now that's how you start a show. Thank you, says Bob. Devil, says the tuning. Friend of the Devil. Friend of the Devil, served chilled with a slice of lime. Jerry fans, rejoice as we welcome the tempo change and finally settle into our surroundings. Here you've got a hockey rink, celebrating its first birthday in 10 days. So why not give an early token of gratitude, as only a few thousand Dead followers can? The communal warmth of a Grateful Dead show. The fact that we are returning to the Civic Center for the second time in less than a year speaks volumes about our value. Pragmatists may say it's a cost-benefit analysis, but taking part in an American musical legacy can also boost pride. Few see Glens Falls as a musical hotspot, but through good hustle, this Civic Center carves out a niche in the cutthroat world of upstate New York medium-sized hockey arenas. Sadly, the good times will only last another 2 years before the venue disappears from the Grateful Dead's radar. Factors such as geography, popularity, policy, and forces beyond our understanding all contribute to its deletion. But there's no reason to mourn the future when the present sings so beautifully. Brent calms the masses with sweet-sounding keys, a lullaby carried on blissful seas. Bob and Jerry, in turn, take us further into the mountains, away from the daily devils of torment. The devils of debt, loss of social stature, family troubles, and moral weakness are out there, waiting to strike. If you strongly feel their pull, or fear you're losing your way, you may be eligible for compensation. Here's our business card. Our goal, since the beginning of time, is to genuinely help the troubled and disaffected, part of our commitment to youth culture. Because when the devil comes for you, and it will, do you have the fortitude to resist the easy deal? If your answer is still no, after living a lifetime in this song, feel free to reach out. Collect calls are accepted. A competent reading of the devil ends here, but there's still plenty of room in the caves up in the hills. Mama tried. Mama tried, and look where that got her. Nowhere. Her children earned excellent grades, did the right thing, and left their dead-end town. Ah, the advantages of being the mother of the town's most intelligent children. The same conversations in bars, on baseball fields, at the supermarket, and at the bridge club. They ain't working at the mill. Those boys are going somewhere. Indeed they did, leaving the town, the county, and eventually the state to pursue prestigious jobs and build businesses, resulting in untold riches. However, with those riches came increased responsibility, higher stakes, longer hours, and a family of their own. As for Mama, those precious apples of her eye rarely came home, condemning her to an empty life spent longing for her son's infrequent visits. As the years passed, she dared not leave the house, ashamed of her perpetual loneliness. And while other mother's boys toiled at the mill for meager wages, they made a point to sit with Mother for dinner every Sunday, happy to give her a kiss and a fresh bouquet on Mother's Day. Another simple pleasure of small-town life, only denied to Mama and mothers with sons in prisons. Thanks, Mom. Mexicali Blues. Thinking and drinking may be all she has today, but this Sunday is Mother's Day. Will she receive a card or a visit from one of her sons? Pour another drink and try not to think about it. It works for Mama. At least her son isn't holed up in a dirty motel with some underage Latina. No offense to Latinas. It's the underage aspect that irks Mama. To her, it's incomprehensible to have spent all that time and energy riding along those dusty desert sands just to end up in such a precarious position. She and her husband met properly while they were still in high school. And technically, while she was also a girl of just 14, he was 2 years older. She should ask Bob about the scandalous situation. He's the one up there singing with an accuracy that hints he may know more about the subject than he'd care to admit. Face it, Ma, if you were 40 years younger and darker in complexion, you'd be right there inside the insect excrement-stained walls, behind ripped curtains, on a broken mattress, sharing a bottle with this handsome stranger. Checkmate. High time. This is the first high time of the 80s, my friends, and only Brent's sixth. We line up in pairs, adjust our graduation caps, smooth our gowns, and make our way toward the stage to accept this musical gift. Summa cum laude. A time to reflect on past highs shared with loved ones while becoming one with the slow, hypnotic groove. We whisper, "What did we do to deserve this?" A question usually reserved for negative experiences. When things go wrong, there's a tendency to search deep within for answers. Let's normalize asking the same question for positive experiences, such as this fragile high time. Look to the heavens with gratitude and the scrutiny usually reserved for fault finding, for today is a wonderful day. Jerry warns us of impending doom, the unavoidable repercussions of the current happiness bubble in which we reside. Maybe he knows something we don't, the disastrous end of days, an accident, a breakup, or other events poised to throw life for a loop. We can beat it, though. All of us are born with the ability to make a positive impact on others. If left unused, this ability will become dull and incapable of cutting through life's most basic problems. Have a soak in the music. Let it bathe you in positivity. You are now recharged and ready to send out a healing vibration to elevate those around you. If everyone got on this plane of existence, we could create the light of the world right here inside the Civic Center. At the very least, consider yourself lucky enough to have received the core values contained within this high time. Now don't forget to share. Please call your parents and tell them you love them, because the next time may be the last. The Grateful Dead was kind enough to bless you with this song. The least you can do is to pay it forward. Lazy Lightning. Now we're just being spoiled. Paying it forward, interest accrued. Some cultures believe an abundance of happiness is the root of forgetfulness, or, in extreme cases, arrogance. But we aren't some cultures. This is deadhead culture. We pack our own rules and mores, and no matter how much ecstasy, light, or positivity the band unleashes, not only can we handle it, but we can also ask for more. If Bob wants to get hairy and focus on power, harnessing raw energy from above, well, so will we. But Jerry has none of it and tries to shake us off the trail with a flurry of strategically placed notes. It nearly works. Bob wants and gets a double dose to pass off to us. Heavy. A rare standoff sends us flying directly into the mouth of the beast like a heat-seeking missile. Swallowed whole, we cannot move. Brent sings the dissonant song of the harpies, beckoning us towards Hades. It takes every ounce of energy to resist the Electra Ladyland. In this trance-like state, we choose to dissolve completely into supplication. A spooky supplication at that. This is either a supreme test of wills or the payoff. Whatever the circumstances, don't forget you pledged your allegiance to the band. You stubbornly clung to the desire to become the most devout follower among your friends. You quickly outgrew them, graduating to the role of a tour head, a position you fought tooth and nail to attain. You never missed a show, selling whatever you had to stay afloat in the nebulous waters of a savvier clientele. Deeply entrenched in the lifestyle, you ignored the signs, the traps, the diversions, and the ex-friends and family begging you to return to the straight life. Instead, your ego guided the way, and as usual, it led you wrong. In the world of the unquantifiable, you wish to count. In the desire to burn bridges so absolutely, you burned out inside. You, the highest and most pious, descended into a hollowed-out soul, stuffed with nothing but empty experiences and words doled out by a band who never cared a lick about you. So, Mr. Scarecrow, stay there to rot, battered by the elements, growing thinner by the month, until a crow alights on your sagging shoulder to peck out the hardened black marble representing your spirit. He will deliver it to the Civic Center on the wings of this lightning and drop it at your feet so that you may free yourself from this miserable, hypothetical future. Pick it up and reclaim your life. The alternate timeline reflected on the marble surface clouds your ability to recognize it as your own, yet it speaks your language. A lost kitten with flea-bitten, crusty eyes, crying for help. It is unloved. It is unnoticed. It is you who is asking for another chance. Disgusted, you do your best to ignore it. As such, the marble rolls out of sight into the darkness. Ramble on, Rose. Jerry flubs the opening line among others, but the New York contingent offers a hearty consolation cheer when their number is called. The music walks us off the ledge into a place called home, where we are met by a recluse on the sofa, a cigarette dangling from a limp, pallid hand. The record player is on repeat. Our consciousness spins the vinyl while outside, meaningless life cycles. The leader of the band made a promise. We remembered the message before we took some, but now we can't or won't be bothered. Jerry sings a personal, "You know this song ain't never gonna end, not once, but twice. Never gonna end. What's never gonna end? Music, math, and numbers. 33 and a third revolutions per minute is our number. As long as it continues to spin, our fortress remains impenetrable, unbothered, and alone. The song is our solace. We hear it. We believe it. We know it to be true. We also know that the song is going to end soon, bringing with it difficult choices. Goodbye to our parents, to friends, and to those we met on the street a few hours earlier. We like a world where songs go on forever." A hard slap to the face, one of many, followed by the shock of icy water. Slowly, the faces of reality come into focus. "We thought we lost you." She speaks with trembling hands and sweat on her brow. "Is there any reason to come back? The song is over. So little remains." Far on the horizon, a note or two hangs like the dog star in the sky. If our ears don't deceive us, we think we heard a lost sailor. Could it be a weird twofer to end the set? We agreed to stay long enough to find out. It's a start. One note. One song. One set, one show, one day at a time, we are going to be okay. Lost sailor. Picture, if you will, the lost sailor. His reality tied to the absolute unreality of a Grateful Dead show. A man wanders the seas, believing he is searching for himself. Yet tonight, he will find much more than he bargained for at a Grateful Dead show. Tonight's sailor is misty and morose. We ride far from shore, sprung from the pen of an Irish poet. Here there be sea lions, slick bodies adorned with mother-of-pearl scales, impenetrable even to the sharpest spears. With water dripping from his thick golden mane, the alpha male entices the crew with promises of gold, said to lie deep in the waters off the Emerald Coast. "Follow us," he says, and for a small price, we will show you. Under the spell of this grand lion and his cadre of oceanic lionesses, the ship makes safe passage towards a secluded harbor through a maze of rock and reef, impassable by traditional navigation alone. The plan is to spend the night surrounded by a pod of these unique sea creatures. Here, the glassy water reflects the echoes of the sea lion's song directly towards the ship, lulling the crew into a state of susceptibility. Saint of Circumstance. The saint urges everyone within earshot to go for it for sure. The price is an iron nail extracted from the boat in exchange for a single gold coin. So, why not succumb to the temptation of riches? While the captain is incapacitated, the crew busies itself, pulling nails and tossing them to their newfound sea friends. The creatures emerge from the depths, spitting gold coins onto the deck with fantastic efficiency. The sailors furiously stuff their pockets, working through a frenzy of splintered wood and screaming iron. They even rip apart the hull, the bridge, the gun deck, and anywhere else that might yield a trading chip. By the time the first leak springs, it is already too late. Had anyone noticed, it is doubtful they could have stopped it. Greedy vacancies are notoriously difficult to repair. Weighed down by gold coins as it rapidly takes on water, the ship disgorges its captain and crew. The once calm sea turns a frothy pink, churned by sea creatures grinning with teeth made of freshly pulled nails. They scoop helpless sailors into their jaws, foregoing the gold to feast on tasty human flesh as the ship sinks, creating a silent vacuum as it slips beneath the waves. So that does it for the first set. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here. Be sure to tune in for the second set right here on the Grateful Shows podcast. See you next set. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.